Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies with you here on 106.7 The Fan. Coming to you live this Monday morning, December 18th, 2017. T-minus 7 days until Christmas. Hope you've done your Christmas shopping.
I have not.
You have not?
I think neither have I. I think I'm going to venture out today, post-show. And we talked about it on the Junks pregame show yesterday from Tyson's Beer Garden. I'm more of your middle reliever type setup guy when it comes to buying Christmas gifts. I'm kind of responsible for stocking stuffers, small gifts, little tidbits. I don't do the big heavy lifting.
I'm kind of not my thing. A role player. My role is take care of the wife.
Yeah.
And maybe one or two, maybe three of the, I've got three kids now, so maybe one or two, three gifts there.
Sure.
But generally, I'm a role player.
See, I've kind of been derelict in my duty because I thought I should do most of my shopping online, but for little stuff like that, I think I just have to go and just grin and bear it, go in for a day or two after the show, and then I'm done. I'm not going to wait until the last day. I'm not waiting until Christmas Eve. We have a pregame show. We're working Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
We're doing a pregame. I'm not going to feel like hitting the stores before or after the pregame. I'm just not.
Probably not.
I'm going to be tapped out.
You're going to want to drink some eggnog.
Yeah, maybe not eggnog. I'm not the biggest
okay,
fan.
Okay, beer.
Beer. Yes. Beer is the key. That's the go-to.
Anyway, it's Cakes and JP here. It is a victory Monday,
so
we will talk about the Redskins' win against Arizona.
I think I have to play the music.
Getting to 6-8. John Keim covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. Will join us at 7.
It's a victory Monday. You have to crank up the HDTR.
Redskins rookie defensive end Jonathan Allen is going to be on the show at 8 o'clock.
Very good.
Don't want to miss that. And our Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman at 9:20. So we'll be all over the Redskins' win. We also will talk some NFL. I mean, Tom Brady's just touched by God. I was watching the end of that game. He threw what could have been the game-ending interception. It was dropped. It hit the guy in the hands. All right, it's a little bit behind him, tip
right.
Ball, whatever. But it hit him in the hands. If he catches it, game's over. Then, of course, Gronk takes over.
Yep.
They score the go-ahead touchdown, leaving not much time for the Steelers. But Roethlisberger hits Juju Smith-Schuster, goes down the sideline, looks like he's going to score a touchdown, comes up short.
Yeah, 69-yard reception.
Okay. They call a timeout. Then they throw what looks like it's the game-winning touchdown to Jesse James. But the catch rule in the NFL is so weird.
He didn't complete the catch.
We were playing as kids. That's a catch, touchdown, it's over. If you're a running back and you cross the plane, touchdown, doesn't matter what happens when you hit the ground. But they reverse that, and then at a minimum, you have a game-tying field goal, and you push the game into overtime. But what does Ben Roethlisberger do? He tries to squeeze it in with four defenders.
Throws the pickle.
So we'll be talking about that as well as we go around the NFL. And then, of course, LeBron was in town.
Well,
remember
team
that was ducking the Wizards in the playoffs last season?
Please, come on. We know that was a farce, that whole thing by Wall and Beal. I mean, they should just shut their mouths when it comes to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
So we'll get into that.
The Wizards.
But with the Redskins, it was a win. And it was, as I kind of predicted, when we did the pregame predictions from Tyson's Beer Garden, I said this kind of feels like the Giants game all over again.
Yeah.
Where they'll get a win, but it'll probably be ugly.
And it was. It was a 5-point win at home. I mean, Blaine Gabbert. I'm sorry. He just stinks. He shouldn't be starting games. He's perfectly cast as a backup quarterback in the NFL. He's not a guy that you can rely on when he has to start 5 or 6 games in a row. His play has declined basically every week since he's had to take over the starting job.
I don't know what quarterback would have done work. They have no weapons. We talk about weapons, lack of weapons.
Yeah.
Who's he throwing the ball to? You were hyping up a guy who had 10 catches.
That's my guy, Ricky Seals-Jones. He didn't do that much yesterday.
No, he got his average.
I was kind of grasping.
He said he's been on fire for a month. He gives you about 2 to 3 catches each game.
On fire is a very relative term, JP. That was compared to what he had done for the first 8 or 9 games of the season, which was donuts across the board.
Right.
Where he had done nothing.
But what does he have to work with? You know, we talk about the Redskins having a bunch of backups in the offensive line. Well, The Cardinals have a bunch of backups in the offensive line. Prior to yesterday, where he was sacked five times, he'd been sacked 15 times the previous 2 weeks. So he's pressured all the time. Adrian Peterson was brought in to be a replacement at running back because, of course, they lost who was everybody's like number one draft pick in fantasy football, David Johnson.
Right.
So down to Kerwin Williams, a guy who averages 3.5 yards a carry.
The Cardinals, the coming in record-wise, they were a slightly better version of the Redskins.
And they
have a lot
of
mismatched pieces.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Right.
Take away Larry Fitzgerald, what do they have?
Well, if you take away Fitz, then they have absolutely nothing.
Right.
Then they're borderline the Cleveland Browns.
So I don't blame Blaine Gabbert entirely. I'm not saying he looked good, but I don't know who would have looked good. You put Kirk Cousins back there, what would he have done?
Well, I would just go, well, he would have done better than Blaine Gabbert because he's a better quarterback than Blaine Gabbert. He's leaps and bounds better than Blaine Gabbert. You think he's not?
I know, but if you put Kirk Cousins back there, I don't think he would do that much more.
He does more work.
I'll give him five more completions and 40, 50 more yards.
Okay, well, I'll just say this. Kirk Cousins won the game with a pretty similar cast of characters on offense.
Understood.
Let's not act like Kirk Cousins is out there with Jerry Rice and Barry Sanders.
But let's not
him.
Act like Kirk Cousins was lighting up. He's 1 for 9 on third downs.
Yeah, but he didn't get sacked five times, and he didn't have back-breaking fumbles. I mean, Gabbert fumbled the ball three times, lost it once. I looked up at Tyson's Beer Garden after you left, and I thought that my prediction was going to come to fruition within the first 5 minutes of the game that the Cardinals and or Blaine Gabbert would commit a back-breaking turnover, which would lead to a Redskins touchdown. And it almost happened.
Well, you had the
so
Cardinals
close.
Scoring 20 points, which I don't know if they're capable of doing
they're
that.
Not.
They won a week prior scoring 12 points.
All they do when they get in the red zone is their offense completely bogs down. Gabbert can't get it done, and they have to settle for field goals from Phil Dawson.
I want to take some calls, though, from Redskins fans today. 800-636-1067. We can open up the Deed Carpet Cleaning listener lines as to whether there were any encouraging signs there for Redskins fans. Like, if you watch that game, I don't think there are any offensively. All right? They can't run the football.
No.
You had 2 weeks. That was a mirage where Samaje Perine ran for 100 yards.
Right.
You had 2 weeks of that. I don't think you can count on it. As you look towards the future, I don't think Samaje Perine is your answer.
Oh, no.
When you had those 2 weeks of 100 yards, like, you know what? Maybe he can be the number one next season.
As Grant and Danny have liked to popularize on this station over the last few years, he is a prototypical Jag. He's just a guy.
Right.
He's not the guy going forward. He's a guy that you can rely on, you know, for 8 or 10 carries, maybe 12 carries in a pinch. He's not a guy you want to give the ball to 20 times in a game. He's just not.
So I don't think there's anything really encouraging about the offensive performance.
Right.
It was terrible. They were 1 for 9 on third downs. I certainly don't think there's anything encouraging special teams-wise. That's a whole other disaster we can talk about.
Right.
But on defense, you did have Anthony Lanier pop, and that's a guy who was generally inactive. Like, we do pregame, and we do the inactives.
Yeah.
And I would say the first 8 weeks of the season, roughly, every week, you would list the guys who aren't going.
Right.
And Anthony Lanier was in there.
And he's a guy from a small school that they knew was going to take some time to develop and work into a starting caliber NFL player. And, you know, he's never going to be a Pro Bowler, but he can be a contributor, especially on this defense.
So that's encouraging. Preston Smith, this is what he does. He flashes every once in a while.
Right.
And makes you think he can be a stud. He had an interception, he had a sack, had a fumble recovery. It's a good game for Preston Smith. And the other guy who I thought balled out yesterday was Kendall Fuller.
Well, Kendall Fuller, the leaps that he's made in year two, you know, I know that EB loved to kill him as a rookie, but that was a guy coming back from microfracture who clearly wasn't 100%.
A rookie.
He is one of the top-rated slot corners in the entire NFL as a second-year player. So what he's done is pretty remarkable. That's a building block for your defense going into 2018.
But, man, it was an ugly game to look at. If you were just watching on TV, too. And then to contrast watching that game versus the Steelers-Patriots.
Right.
Like the energy, the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Everything about that game, the Steelers-Patriots game, looked better than the Redskins-Cardinals
sure.
game.
Well, of course. I mean, those are teams that are at the top of the AFC. Those are teams, one of those teams most likely will be in the Super Bowl. Yeah, the Redskins and Cards have a ways to go to get to that level.
I will say, for the lack of fans at FedEx.
Yeah.
And I heard eyeball test, it was like 60% full. That's probably kind. It's pretty loud. Awad, you were there, right? Put Awad on mic.
Of course he was there with Maury.
What was the crowd actually like that was there? And when if you had to guess, was it 50% full, 75% full?
When the game started, I'd say 50%, and it got up to about 65%.
So probably about 40,000 people there at the peak.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, about 40,000.
But they were pretty loud.
I mean, the whole row that I was sitting on, there was five people to my left and then nobody to my right.
Oh, really?
And how many seats are there in that row?
About 20.
Did you see any Cardinals fans in the building?
Yeah, there was this one drunk woman behind us that was getting in fights with everyone.
Really?
Just screaming BF, any word.
Pretty
she
fun.
She was so drunk.
Pretty fun.
And she kept her team in it, though. Her screaming.
Yeah, that was her.
I thought they were going to come back at the end.
It was all on her.
And there was a sequence, though. The people that pine for Jay Gruden to return, and we can talk about that on the show. That offensive sequence at the end where they just have to ride out the clock, try right. and get one first down,
sure.
basically. They run on first down, which the Cardinals know is coming. And I think, actually, Piron did a pretty good job and got about 4 yards. They call a quick timeout. And then they ran the bootleg,
right,
which was a pass block. Kirk got the pass, you know, blocked, and so it's an incompletion, free timeout,
right.
And then they go draw play, which was awful.
Well, you know that's
that
not gonna
was a terrible sequence.
No, that's not going to succeed. I mean, just look what the top three running backs combined for: 17 carries for 45 yards. The running game / offensive line needs a lot of work in the offseason because that is not going to cut it.
They have Bibbs and Daniels as their second and third running backs right now.
I understand that they're very under-talented, and they're signing guys off the street. Capri Bibbs is walking the street just waiting for somebody to call him.
Hey, he led them in yards per carry at 3 yards per carry.
Look, it was an impressive performance by him, and he caught the touchdown.
Yep.
Had a nice game. Good for him, but he was signed off the street. He was just walking around. God only knows what he was doing before he got the call from the Redskins because they were so desperate for running back help.
By the way, I'm thrown by your silly string, which apparently is still on the microphone. I
didn't even notice. There it is.
That's been there for over a week.
Yeah, certainly is. You can thank Awad for that. There's some on yours, too. Right on the front.
I missed that. So that happened last week? Because I remember Bickle doing that in studio.
It happened on the Christmas show.
Yeah, it was Bickle spraying it. Well, it wasn't Awad.
Well, Awad gave him the gift.
It's okay. EB's the one who chose to use it on our studio.
But if you give somebody silly string, they have to spray it. You can't just keep it in the can.
Yeah,
otherwise,
but that's
what
like,
good is it?
That's like blaming me for a murder if I give you a gun.
Yeah, you're kind of culpable. I mean, if you just hand me a gun, you know I'm going to be irresponsible with it, right? I mean, what am I going to do if you hand me a gun? I'm probably going to shoot it.
Anyway, the Redskins do get a win, 20-15. They can close out the season with two more wins and get to 8-8.
It is a victory.
H-T-T-R.
It's a victory Monday. Look, 8-8 is not great. We all know this. It's far from the glory years of this franchise, which are way in the rearview mirror. But 8-8, I'm sorry. It's better than 7-9. It's better than some of the other results they could have.
Yeah, but 5-11 would have been beautiful to have Chris Russell walk from here to Redskins Park. Not going to happen.
I know it was
he gets a reprieve.
I know it was a funny bit in the concept of it. Deep down, I really didn't want Russell to have to make that walk. That's a long ass walk.
It's healthy for him.
Healthy?
Get some walking in. Get some miles in.
Here's what's healthy is doing something that's long and sustained over your life to make like health changes. Everybody can do that. Walking when you haven't done it forever from Nats Park to Redskins Park. I mean, that's just borderline insanity.
Well, it's not going to happen, but we will talk Redskins throughout the show. If anybody cares, John Kime's going to join us at 7 o'clock from ESPN.com. Jonathan Allen, the rookie defensive end, who clearly made a difference, especially when you're talking about pressuring the quarterback and stopping the run because you've seen what's happened with the defense. since he's been gone. He's going to join us at 8 o'clock, and Craig Hoffman, a Redskins beat reporter, at 9:20, all right here on the Junkies.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's All 106.7 The Fan. It's Cakes and JP. We'll talk to John Kime from ESPN.com. Covers the Redskins for them. We'll get into that at 7 when we hit the skins. Jonathan Allen's going to join us, Redskins defensive end, rookie defensive end. He'll join us at 8 o'clock. I had an epiphany this morning, Cakes. I had an idea.
Okay.
EB pitches a lot of ideas that will never come to fruition. This right. is an idea that will
All
never come to fruition, at least
yep.
from me.
Okay.
So Uber has become huge in a lot of people's lives.
Absolutely.
I've actually never personally used Uber.
I have.
I don't have the app on my phone.
I've had good experiences with it for the most part.
But I get it. Yep. I've actually told my mom, who could use rides from time to time, that yep. she should have Uber. It's very easy.
Sure.
They come to your house.
They just
pick you up.
Hit a few buttons on your phone. Bang. Car's right. there in 5 minutes.
And Uber is such a good business that they've actually expanded to Uber Eats now.
Yes, correct.
My neighbor even used it to bring in Popeyes.
Really?
I didn't even know there was a Popeyes close to us.
Oh,
and he actually said, he actually sent me a text. He was like, I just hit my personal rock bottom, which I didn't think was a rock
yeah.
bottom. He's like, I just used Uber Eats to deliver Popeyes to my house.
I don't consider that a rock bottom. I consider that climbing to the top of the mountain, my friend. Good job by you.
Right.
The dirty rice at Popeyes is a 15 out of 10.
I know. You've been raving about
that
for years and years.
It's the best side item at any fast food place that you can order.
You love the dirty
rice
aside
from McDonald's fries. I do have a soft spot, of course, for McDonald's fries. Who
doesn't? So Uber Eats has been, I'm guessing, a success. They deliver anything right to your home for price. So this morning, I get in the car. It's been a while. I snoozed so many times since I've had to get up.
Yep.
Get up to do the show, get in the car. And I knew this from last night. So last night, well, yesterday, I drive to and from Tyson's.
Right.
I look at the gas tank. Yeah, I probably should fill up the gas. Then I do Redskins overtime. I look at the gas tank. I probably should fill up on the way to Bethesda. It's like, Then I drive back from Bethesda. I'm golden. And I look and I see that I have 28 miles of gas left.
Okay, that's solid. You should be able to find a gas station.
To get to work, 26 miles. So this morning I say, you know
that's
what?
Pushing it.
Don't feel like going to the gas station. What I'm pitching is Uber gas.
Uber gas. I kind of like it. Where they come and just
my
fill up your car?
My car is just sitting in the parking lot right
yes.
now. It desperately needs gas. I don't even know the closest gas station around here. A lot of times I stop in Crystal City.
Right.
I've stopped in McLean because it's kind of on my way because I take the GW Parkway home.
Yeah. There's no real close gas
There's
station
nothing
on the way.
Right around here. So for a price, what if somebody filled my gas tank?
I think it's a
it
great idea.
It would probably be worth it because I'm going to end up spending about 20 minutes that I would. Like, I can normally get home in about 30 minutes, but I'm going to spend about 20 minutes trying to get gas.
Okay, I like the idea, but a better short-term solution is to toss your keys to AWOD and have them go fill up your car during the show. I mean, it's just an idea. I mean, he's available now. He took over for Eric because maybe Eric had to go to the bathrooms, so he's actually running the board. But for the next 3.5 hours... he's got nothing but time on his hands.
I want to hear from listeners. Would Uber gas go over 800-636-1067?
I think if you're in a real pinch.
And is there anything that we could do? So basically you would have people who have gas tanks, right? I guess instead of Uber drivers.
Yeah.
There are Uber drivers that just have gas tanks ready to go. And
now,
then we would have to have delivery people who drive to the car.
It would have to be a more streamlined and more efficient.
Have to be able to pop the gas, the little, you know what I mean? Like, to pop my, what do you call
sure,
that?
The door to your gas tank.
Right.
I don't have a better.
The door to the gas tank. Some of them you just press
yep.
and it opens up.
Others, there's a button
and
inside.
Right. Mine has a button inside, I think.
Yeah. It's,
so they would have to have access to the car's gas tank.
Yeah, there are a lot of hurdles here. Now, you can't have some guy in a pickup truck with just nine of the little red 1.5 gallon.
Why not?
You can't. It's just a terrible business model.
So you have to have an Uber gas truck?
Yes, you'd have to have a very scaled down version of
a mobile gas station.
Yeah, you'd have to have a mobile gas station. You can't have some guy with nine tanks in the back.
So we can get Uber out of there. We just call it something else. We would develop a mobile gas station.
You know what? I don't know how old propane taxi is, but 15 years ago, somebody had the idea of, why are people going to Home Depot to get their propane tanks? We can deliver them to people's doorsteps. That's a viable business.
JP.
That works.
You're so far behind on this.
Something already exists, of course.
Yeah, of course it already exists. I know that there's one in California. It's like a big business out there where it's gas delivery.
Right.
And I just saw there's an app called Filled. It might be the same thing. The only thing you do is
behind the times.
You pop your gas tank before you get out of your car.
Yeah, so you would arrange it.
You leave it.
You get
open.
To work, you're like, holy ass, I have 2 miles left before I get to a gas station. You pull up your app. You set a delivery time, and then you pop the hatch, you leave your car, when you come back, filled.
Well, that's what I need. Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. Clearly, I'm behind the times. I will just hand the keys to Awad. He's going to have to go out and find a gas station, and hopefully not run out of gas before he finds it.
Yeah, that's
because
the key.
I'm telling you, I'm on E.
Yeah, you're way low. See, I don't dance with that anymore. I ran out of gas within the past
Too cold
year and a
this
half.
Morning, Cakes.
I understand.
Once I got in the warm car,
I
didn't
it.
Want to get out of the car.
I get
and
it.
And I knew I had exactly enough to get here.
Yep. You nailed it. You got here with just the bare minimum. Let's go to Eric calling from Clintwood. Never heard of that spot. What's up, Eric? You're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? Appreciate you taking my call there, man.
Yep.
I'm first off, I'd like to say to you guys, I'm a longtime viewer in the show. Wish you the best of luck with the show.
Thank
and
you.
The 2018 contract's coming up, guys. I hope to see you again next year.
I hope you're right.
I hope to see us beyond
question,
next year.
My question is, in y'all's opinion, from most to least importance, what are the three biggest holes or pieces to fill in the off season with our draft and our free agency? Thanks for taking my call, guys, and legalize it.
All right.
Wow.
Thank
well,
you, Eric.
Thank
you for the legalize it at the end there.
I think defensive line still needs help. Now, Jonathan Allen coming back, and you have good signs with Anthony Lanier, but I would bolster that. You need a running back.
Yep.
And you need a wide receiver. Josh Doctson is clearly not a number one. Probably not even a number two.
I think he can be a serviceable number two, which – for his draft status is a disappointment. You
right.
draft a guy in the first round, you expect him to develop into your top wide receiver option. Doesn't look like he's going to be that. Now, coming into year three, I don't know. Can you really spend a first round pick on a wide receiver? I don't think you can do that. But I agree it's a glaring need for this team. They need some more weapons on the outside for whoever is throwing the ball to them, whether it's Kirk Cousins or somebody else. You know what? You might need to add quarterback to that list, too. Depending on what happens,
and then Zach Brown leaves the middle linebacker.
Well, you can't let Zach Brown leave. You can't let Kirk leave, and you can't let Zach Brown leave.
Well,
those are two offseason priorities. Well, if they both leave, what are you spending your money on at that point? Then you have to just point as many fingers as you have to the front office and say, "What are you doing? How are you keeping the Redskins competitive if you're letting Kirk and your best defensive player go in the same offseason?"
800-636-1067 is the number.
Let's go to Steve in Fort Myer. What's up, Steve?
Hey, I'm just calling you on the Uber idea for gas.
Okay.
Department of Transportation rules won't allow it to happen for fuel carriers. The reason I know this is because this is one of the things I do for a living. You have to have special containers, trucks, licenses, and unless Uber's going to buy a $175,000 truck to be able to carry fuel and then another $10,000 for the licenses, it's not going to go.
So you can't have random donks with red gas canisters.
JP is thinking in broad strokes here. He hasn't gone through all of what it would take to actually get it done.
Right. Well, you can carry a gas can that's labeled as if you would for mowing your lawn. That's all you can carry in a car without getting smacked by the government.
That's all I would need, by the way.
Right, it's all you need.
All I need.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Have you ever run out of gas, Cakes?
I talked about it on the show, I think, about a year and a half ago. I ran out of gas on Muncaster Mill Road, which, by the way, for people that have ever driven on it or haven't, it's one of the busier, more congested roads in all of Montgomery County. One lane each way, but dangerous. Ran out of gas within sight of a gas station. Like, within one-tenth of a mile. My car couldn't make it the last one-tenth of a mile on fumes. And I had to sprint out of the car during a thunderstorm, buy the red gas tank, fill it up, sprint back with my daughter in the car, by the way, the whole time. And, yeah, I don't dance with that anymore. After
when
that
I was
experience,
in high school, I ran out of gas two or three times. And the reason I ran out of gas, my first ever car was a hand-me-down.
Right.
It was an Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme. Two-door.
Yep.
Remember that, silly?
Of course.
Silly two-door.
Big gray monster. Probably
yes.
Got 12 miles of the gallon.
It had a broken gas gauge.
Right.
So it would be on full. You'd fill up the gas. It could be on full.
Say I'm broke.
You drive, I don't know, 100 miles or so. It'd go to three quarters. Drive another 50 miles or so. It'd be at half. And it would stay on half. And it was just a guessing game.
Yeah, you had to roll the dice.
It was a guessing game.
It was like you're playing craps when you turn on the ignition.
If you weren't monitoring how many miles you had driven, good chance you'd run out of gas.
Yep.
Now, I ran out of gas on Point Ridge Drive, which is the street where you grew up on one time.
Yep.
So that was close by. And I ran out of gas generally in pretty easy areas to get to a gas canister.
Running out of gas is generally the domain of, I would say, 25 years old and younger. I felt like a real idiot when I ran out of gas at the age of like 46. I was not pleased with myself. I'd made it all the way up to that point without having done it. I waited until 46 to run out of gas for the first time.
So basically, since you're driving since 16, for 30 years,
yeah.
A perfect record of not running out of gas.
I dodged bullets all that time.
And now your daughter will always remember her dad was too lazy to fill up.
Dad was a little bit of a donk, no doubt. Let's go to James in Landover. 800-636-1067 is the number on a Victory Monday here on 106.7 The Fan. What's up, James?
Hey, speaking of tanking and gas, Kirk Cousins runs out of gas every year the last four or five games, especially in December. If you notice, the last three or four years, he has terrible games in December when we're trying to make a push for the playoffs. So I didn't think
yesterday was a terrible game from Kirk. Did you? I mean, it wasn't a great game offensively.
It was terrible.
What did you think was terrible about his performance?
The dude's just not a leader. Every time we need a clutch third down play to keep the drive going, he fails. He can't do it in the clutch. I'm telling you.
Third downs has been a problem all year.
Fourth quarter, end of the season, he's not clutch. Man, draft a quarterback or we'll never win a championship. I'm telling you. Now, if you just want to win six, seven games, then keep him. Pay him $30 million.
Cake said this yesterday. I think that Kirk is – I think you said it. Maybe it was somebody else. I do so many Redskin shows.
Right.
That Kirk and Jay seem to be married. Was that you?
That was not me.
Oh, it might have been Michael Jenkins.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it is true. Or it might have been Chris Farley who Skyped into the show yesterday.
Right.
But I do kind of feel like Jay defines mediocrity to me, and the record speaks for itself. I think seven games under 500 in 4 years. And Kirk's been along for that ride. It's just the way it's been. I didn't think he was bad yesterday. They stink on third downs all season long, though. That's a reality. I think they entered yesterday 26th or 27th in the league on third down.
Right.
And 1-for-9 ain't going to help.
Okay, he may not have been great yesterday, but I'll tell you this. He's way better than Blaine Gabbert.
Absolutely.
Okay, and Tom Lavero wrote a nice article for the Washington Times basically saying, okay,
Christmas past, Christmas present.
Your ghost of quarterback future,
right.
Redskins fans, could be a guy like Blaine Gabbert.
Yep.
So while you're pining for the next Dan Marino or John Elway or Aaron Rodgers to walk through the door, appreciate what you have because you might not have it for much longer with Kirk Cousins, depending on what happens during the offseason.
Phone number is 800-636-1067. John Keim covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. will join us at 7 when we hit the Skins. Here on a Victory Monday, Cakes, yes, the Redskins won. They're 6-8. Woohoo! John Keim will join us, covers the Redskins for ESPN.com at 7 as we hit the Skins, talk about the Redskins. Win against the Cardinals to improve to 6-8. Before we open up the Junkie Sports page, sneak in a couple phone calls here real quick.
Let's go to Tobias in Dunkirk. What's up, Tobias?
Yes, I just wanted to piggyback on the players that we need for next year. We need a dominant left guard and a dominant nose tackle because teams like the Dallas Cowboys, they like to run the ball so much. We need to be able to be just stop stuff like that because they're young, and we need to get young on the defensive line also. That's all I wanted to say.
They definitely could use some line help. Yeah, this year, a lot of it has been injuries. I feel like if they were healthy, their line is good enough. Offensive line.
Okay, yeah, I was about to say. The defensive line, I think you need a few years of relatively high draft picks to keep restocking because do you really want to keep relying on guys like, hey, look, Anthony Lanier, nice game yesterday, but he's the developmental project type of guy. How much more can you wring out of a guy like Ziggy Hood on a year-to-year basis? I love the drafting of Jonathan Allen last year. He's going to be on the show a bit later. You know, a guy that a lot of people thought would be a top five, top seven pick, fell into the Redskins' lap at 17. The Redskins will probably be drafting somewhere in that same neighborhood this year. If they have another guy that's probably, he's probably not going to be as good as Jonathan Allen coming out, but somewhat close, I would draft him to plug him right next to Allen and start building that defensive line from the inside out. You do that for a few years, you won't have the 25th or 28th ranked defense in the league.
I think defensive line certainly they need to address. I think offensive line, if you have guys healthy, Trent Williams, Morgan Moses, Brandon Scherff, that's a pretty good foundation. And they drafted Rouye this year.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, yeah, optimally, but you don't have a million draft choices.
No.
It's the problem.
You better hit on the majority of them to improve this team. Let's go to Bill in Haymarket. What's up, Bill?
Hey, I was calling about your fuel idea. You know, you had a guy call in and said that you probably can't do it because of all the rules and licensing or whatever. Well, you know, I used to work in landscape when I was young. And we had like a 100-gallon tank on the back of our pickup truck, and it was perfectly legal. It had a pump and everything. And you're allowed to put gas in your own vehicles and everything. So what's the problem with that? Why couldn't you carry it around in the back of a pickup, go to the people's places, business, or whatever, and fill their truck up?
Bill sounds like he's got the solution.
There you go. Just have a bunch of 100-gallon gas tanks.
You guys got a good idea. I'm thinking about stealing it from you. So if I do, I'll send you royalty checks every month.
I'll take a royalty.
Nice. All he wants is like 80%. Thanks for the idea, Bill. Appreciate it.
I'll take a couple dollars here or there.
We'll take a few shekels.
Why not?
Can't hurt.
Send me a dollar per gas tank you fill up.
Oh, absolutely. If you got a dollar.
Fired up.
Of course. Let's go to Jeff in Dulles. I think he wants to talk about the apple of my eye yesterday in daily fantasy sports. His name is Ricky Seals Jones. What's up, Jeff?
Cakes, I don't know if that Hofbrow was getting into your veins there over at Tyson's Beer Garden or not on Sunday, but Ricky Seals Jones, he was a big 2 catches for 11 yards. Thank you very much. Nice call.
Yeah, it was not an optimal performance, but I figured against the Redskins' sieve of a defense when it came to covering tight ends that he might be a viable option. Apparently he wasn't. He had a letdown.
Cakes, I appreciate your passion on behalf of your pick, though. It was fantastic. I enjoyed it.
I tried to be as convincing as possible. Thank you for the call.
His passion apparently worked for him. It worked for Chris Farley, our buddy that runs Pacers Running Store.
Okay.
Because he's in our P1 Listener League.
Yes.
So it's a league. Cakes and I are part of it, and it's a bunch of listeners. And he heard you passionately argue on behalf of Ricky Seals Jones.
Ricky!
Picked him up in the playoff game against me.
Ricky.
Thank you, Cakes, because he gave him 2 catches for 11 yards.
Ricky.
Hey, it's not my fault that Blaine Gabbert is terrible and can't get RSJ the ball like he should have.
Right.
Because he should take advantage of the Redskins' soft defense. He just was unable to do so. Let's go to Patrick in Fredericksburg. What's up, Patrick? Hello on a Victory Monday here on The Fan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
So, as far as your gas problem goes, there's actually already a service where it can be done. It's you can contact a mobile mechanic, and they'll do a whole range of services like your tires, wiper blades, oil changes, check engine lights, to include filling up your gas tank.
Yeah, but that's going to be uber expensive, by the way.
You would think.
There's another option if you're a AAA member. They'll bring you gas. You tell them you're running out of gas.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been a AAA member.
I think I might be. I have to ask my wife.
Thank you for the solution.
Thank you. Thank you,
Patrick. The solution which I think I'm going to use, and I feel a little bit bad for it, is I'm just going to tell AWOD to go fill up my gas tank.
Yeah, just flipping the keys. Why would you feel bad about it? He's like a Swiss Army knife. He can do a lot of different things. One of which
It's hard to say this, but I feel like it's beneath his responsibilities.
No, it's not. Are you kidding me?
But as I say that, what's above his responsibilities?
How about it fits perfectly in the wheelhouse of AWOD responsibilities? Going and getting gas during the show? That's right up his alley. Plus, he'll probably put like a drink and like a honey bun on your credit card when he goes and fills it up. I would guess.
Sure. I don't know. Maybe he's no carbon in. I don't know.
No, he's not no carbon yet. Are you kidding me? He goes through phases from time to time.
All right. Can you give me the presses? Let's open up the Junkie Sports page. Fill you in on what's going on beyond the Redskins. And we will go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz at 7:45. The Wizards actually had a big game last night.
They did, yes.
Played at 6. That's a sweet spot for guys to do morning radio.
Now, It's not the sweetest spot to do it on an NFL Sunday.
I get it.
But I applaud 6 p.m. tips.
Right, but actually it was perfect because you could actually watch the Steelers-Patriots game.
Right.
And then when that game was over, put it over to the Wizards. You know that it really doesn't matter until the fourth quarter, and that's really what it came down to. And in the end, LeBron James owns the Washington Wizards.
Trip dub for him. His third straight triple-double, by the way.
20 points, 12 rebounds, 15 assists. Bradley Beal poured in 27 for the Wizards, but it wasn't enough.
Much like we've talked about on the show, the Pens own the Caps in the playoffs, and LeBron owns the Wiz anytime. Playoffs, regular season, it doesn't matter. He just owns us.
Now, the Wizards have played better of late. They won their two games before this matchup with the Cavs. And really has to do with John Wall coming back to the lineup. Not that John Wall had a great game yesterday, but they're a different team with John Wall in the lineup. And the guy who's really been popping of late is Mike Scott off the bench.
Mike Scott has really added a spark, especially now with Keith being banged up and Otto missing yesterday. They've needed that performance from Mike Scott, and he's delivered it. Good for him.
I'd expect them to take off to an extent. We were talking about this before the show started. The Wizards, they're basically a 500 team, all right? They're 16-14, two games above 500.
Right.
Win one, lose one. Win two, lose one. Lose two, win one, whatever. 16-14. Last year, they won 49 games. We were encouraged that they might get to that 50-win plateau this year.
Right.
And based on 16-14, you don't think it's going to happen, but I think if John Wall can remain healthy, I think they're going to take off at some point and go on a bit of a streak. Kind of depends on the opponents. Look, you got to beat up on the bad teams. That's what they had been doing prior to this. They lost the Cavs. To me, the Cavs are in a different class. The Cavs, the Warriors, the Rockets right now, and the Boston Celtics, those four teams, the Wizards are not in that class.
No, they're not.
They're maybe in that next tier of teams that includes teams like the Raptors.
Well, another team in that tier you're talking about is their next opponent here at Capital One. It's Boogie Time. Boogie Cousins and company.
We'll take a look at their record. I don't think they're in that next tier. But the Pelicans,
they don't win a lot of games, but they score a lot of points. They'll get up and down the court.
Yeah, but they're kind of a sub 500 team. By the way, right around 500.
I know he's a bad guy, and he's a bad guy to have in your locker room. But if the Wizards have any way of pulling off a deal to bring in Boogie Cousins, I think you have to do it. And if that means trading away Kelly Oubre, I think I can live with that.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. Because maybe they're getting sick.
Guy puts up 25 points and 15 rebounds.
Maybe they're getting sick of the Boogie Cousins act.
Maybe.
I'm ready to get sick of the Boogie Cousins act with him wearing a Wizards uniform.
So the Wizards lost yesterday, but on Saturday, Cakes, the Caps won their sixth straight game at home. They're now atop the Metro Division. Remember when they were in fifth place?
I remember.
I took a look at the Metro Division, 43 points. That means they're in first place. Ovi with the game-winning goal in overtime. He now has 23 goals.
It's in overtime, JP.
Overtime. Apologize.
Caps lingo. You got to say he won in overtime.
23 goals
just
on the season.
A ripper of a goal to win it, too.
Now, they've been on a nice stretch where they've been playing some home games. Starting tomorrow, they head to Dallas, the first of four straight road games. But they've been doing this without TJ Oshie. Made a nice push for the Capitals after kind of starting off the season, you know, 500-ish.
Oh, and then after they go to Dallas, they get the super low-hanging fruit. They get to play the Arizona Coyotes, who are the worst team in all of the NHL. That's probably a groovy start and probably a win for the Caps.
So nice win for the Washington Capitals. And, of course, the big story yesterday was the New England Patriots came back to beat the Steelers 27-24. Tom Brady had 298 yards, touchdown. Gronk took over in the second half, 9 catches, 168. The Steelers had no solution, but they had a chance to win the game on the last drive. It looked like they won the game. The referees ruled a Jesse James catch was not a catch. And then Big Ben threw a pick on a third and goal instead of kicking the game tying field goal. They lose the game, and Tom Brady once again gets hooked.
The look on Mike Tomlin's face after Big Ben threw the pick, I mean, it was priceless.
Tom Brady's great and everything, but he's won some games where it's out of his control, and his defense just hooks him. Should have lost the Super Bowl to the Seahawks, and Tom Brady gets hooked right there with the Super Bowl. Thank you to Malcolm Butler. Should have lost that game yesterday, and the defense hooks him.
He's obviously a great player. He puts in a lot of hard work. But you cannot discount the fact that, Tom Brady's been touched by God.
He has been.
He has just been touched by God. If you want to if you can argue that with me somehow, I'd love to argue it. But look, some people lead charmed lives.
Yeah.
They just do. And Tom Brady is one of those people.
So irritating. My wife kind of roots for him. I got her the book.
Okay.
TB12, because she's big in, you know, she's a personal trainer. She's
right.
Big in nutrition and all that stuff. And, you know, Tom Brady's handsome.
Right.
And he wins all the time.
Sure.
And she's, like, rooting for him. And I'm just irritated.
That must
because
cause some
Brady
friction.
Used to get my guy, Manning, all the time.
Right.
So I'm just an anti-Brady guy.
Yeah.
It's just what I am. I'm not a fan of the Steelers. I'm just an anti-Brady guy.
Trust me. I know. But it probably creates a little bit of a weird dynamic that Jess roots for Tom Brady. She roots for the evil empire.
And she was like... She actually was like, why isn't Brady upset on the sidelines when it looked like the Steelers were going to come back to win?
Yeah.
And then 2 minutes later, I was like, that's why. Because he's touched by God and he gets hooked all the
time. Is your wife a classic front runner? Does she like...
No, she's a Redskins fan.
Does she love Clemson? Does she love Tom Brady?
No, she's a Redskins fan.
Okay.
And she's just a little bit enamored, like many women with Tom Brady.
Gotcha.
800-636-1067 is the number. Coming up next, we hit the skins. John Keim, ESPN.com, joins us here on The Junkie.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.